Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
Your one-hour conversation with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're going to be tested. There's going to be adversity. How you persevere says a lot about what you're going to be as a team.
The Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. To talk to the coach, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Or from outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening. Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show here the Tuesday night before Thanksgiving. Folks, it's a great week for football. Always has been. But, and when I say always has been, from a tradition sense, everybody's got great memories, I'm sure, of Thanksgiving days past, and not just the family, but football games as well. But it's a great week if you're a Jaguars fan, because this is that point in the season where you're either in it or you're not. Yin yout, as they like to say up in North Carolina. And at this point, the Jaguars are in. They're at a point where, at 6-4, if you look at the standings on NFL.com, and I know this is a stretch, but you look at the standings on NFL.com, if the season were to end today, the Jaguars are in. They're in that fifth spot ahead of the Steelers by virtue of their conference record. So they're sitting in a good spot right now. But, and this is really the key now, they have a West Coast trip to San Francisco this week to take on a San Francisco team that started strong. I mean, they started 3-0, and yet they have fallen now since. They've only won one of their last five or six ball games. They played well in the second half in Green Bay last week after not really playing very well at all in the first half, falling down 23-3. But they've got a running back in Frank Gore, who is the only other player in the NFL this season with three touchdown runs of 60 yards or longer. So, you know, you're facing that. And, of course, a couple of years ago, he led the NFC in rushing with more than 1,500 yards. You know with Mike Singletary's defense that you're going to be seeing that rush. I don't think that they run the similar defense that Mike grew up in. Not many people run that 46 zone anymore, but they do have a couple of tremendous pass rushers. Manny Lawson from North Carolina State was a first-round pick, and they have a linebacker, Paris Harrelson, who Jeff Loggeman watched a few weeks ago and said, this kid is sensational. He's not very big. He's not even 6'1". He's barely 235 pounds, but man, does he come after the quarterback hard. So you got all that, and then there's this addition, Michael Crabtree, who made a very big catch last week, showed just a glimpse of the tremendous potential that he has. I'm not sure how many people in this listening audience ever got to see Texas Tech play. They're pretty good last year, so chances are you've probably seen him at least once. Crabtree, a tremendous receiver in college. It was a system thing. But some of the catches he's made, both against Houston when I saw him play for the first time this year and then last week against Green Bay, man, the guy is going to be a tremendous football player. And obviously that foot with a broken bone in it that caused him to fall on draft day has healed. So the Jaguars have their hands full with this team. But yeah, they come home with Houston, then they get Miami, and then Indianapolis, and then New England. I mean, bang, 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 we're talking about teams that are either seriously involved in the playoffs, such as New England and Indianapolis, or teams on the periphery, teams in that wild card hunt, like the Jaguars, the Steelers, the Ravens, the Dolphins, the Texans. So, you know, if we're going to talk about this thing in terms of the playoffs, and we can because they've won three in a row, and they have a shot to stay in it if they can go out to San Francisco and win. In fact, I should probably clarify that. They have more than a shot to stay in it because a loss would be a non-conference loss. But you don't want to fall behind. You just can't. Not with the Texans, and we know how explosive they are. By the way, we don't know the status of Rasheen Mathis' groin, so they could be facing Andre Johnson next week, but that's next week. You're talking about a football team that's right in the thick of it. For Thanksgiving week, how much more can you ask for than that? So the phone lines will be open up in just a moment, 355-NFL-1 if you'd like to take part, 355-6351. And this portion of the Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by North Florida's Labor Union, a job done on time and on budget. That's the union way. Coach will join us in just a moment. We'll grab your phone calls. Jaguars back in the Bay Area. First time they have played there since January of 2005, the tail end of the 2004 season. They beat the Raiders that day. Homecoming for Coach Del Rio. Grew up in Hayward. Of course, Maurice Drew in Antioch played for De La Salle, which is there in Concord. Big stage this week, one of the biggest markets in the National Football League. And, of course, all eyes are on this team and the others that are in the playoff chase in the AFC. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll welcome Coach Del Rio into the studio and you via the phone lines. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. And you're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Well, when you're looking for a department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 7 Jacksonville location, Stein Mart. Once you go this holiday season, you get it. And we welcome the head coach of the Jaguars into the studio this evening. Hello, Coach. How are you?
Good. Good evening.
Happy Thanksgiving week to you.
And the same to you.
It's a great week for football fans, especially, as I was saying off the top of the show, your football team is right in the thick of things at 6-4. Essentially, and we've been talking about playoff race, but when you look at the AFC and the teams that are all hovering right around you, the Steelers and the Ravens and the Texans and the Dolphins, you're essentially in the playoffs now with 6 weeks to play, aren't you?
Well, actually, really for us, we talked about it starting, you know, with our trip to the Meadowlands.
Okay.
2 weeks ago. I mean, we're in a win to stay in mentality, and that's what we have to be. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, if you don't each and every week that you're bounced immediately. No, that's not it. But, you know, right now we're in a mode where, as a football team, we've got to absolutely, you know, scratch and claw for every inch in every ball game and hope it's good enough.
Well, that's a great way to segue right into it. Once again, game on the line, David Garrard grabs the ball and takes the team down the field. 12 play, 73 yards, almost 5 minutes off the clock, and ends with that touchdown pass. You know, and people will point and say, well, you know, you only beat the Bills by 3 points. The reality of it is that your football team gets better with those kinds of wins.
How many points did the Steelers beat the Chiefs by this week?
That's another way to answer it. They did not, obviously. Yeah. But I think it's an important point that this football team with the game on the line.
You don't look for style points in this league. You look for wins.
Right.
And I think that's... it's different. This is, you know, we're not driven by a poll or a computer ranking. You know, wins and losses, you win enough, you qualify for playoffs, and then you play, you know, for a chance to win the trophy, which we're all after, and that's, you know, the trophy that says you're the best in the world.
Phone number is 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Of course, if you're outside of our calling area, 800-355-NFL1 makes that a free phone call to you. I don't know whether I'll be the first person to ask it. I doubt I'll be the last person either. Going back to the West Coast, obviously folks will point to that Seattle loss. Your football team's a different football team at this point. West Coast trips, just that difficult? Or how do you change anything up to make this trip more productive than the last time?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing we need to change is our execution on the football field come Sunday afternoon. I think in terms of, you know, what we'll do schedule-wise, be very similar. We're going to go out a day early. We'll go out on Friday afternoon, the day after Thanksgiving. And we expect to be a whole lot better. I mean, obviously you could look for a lot of excuses. I think, you know, clearly we recognize there are a lot of things that didn't go right that we're going to need to be better at, and we'll get an opportunity. And, you know, teams have traveled. Arizona was one of those teams that battled that.
They were 0-5 last year in the Eastern Time Zone, but they're undefeated on the road this year.
Yeah, they're 4-0 this year. 5-0. Well, why?
Yeah.
5-0 now. Because they're a pretty good team. And good teams find a way to win. That's what we have to do. You know, we want to be in the mix, want to continue to stay in the mix. Well, you got to earn it. You got to go out and you got to win a road game.
Grab a couple phone calls here for the head coach, 355-NFL1. And let's grab TJ down in St. Augustine. Hello, TJ. Welcome to the show. TJ, you're on.
Hey, how are you, Coach?
Good evening. How you doing, TJ?
I'm good. I've been a charter member since 94. And I'm just curious, having played football in college, and the whole idea of when I've gone to the games, and everyone looks all fired up, but when they come out, sometimes we're flat, and then it takes a while. Do you know what it takes, or do you know the sense of a team when they're in the locker room and how they'll come out?
No, I think that's a little bit overrated, quite frankly. I think that in the National Football League, I think the emotion of being fired up, you know, lasts about two plays, and then you settle into what you're going to be, and it's about execution. I think when you've seen what you would refer to as flat, you've seen a lack of execution. And if you're not executing, it's hard to be fired up.
Sure.
You know, you're not going to be excited jumping around, being all giddy and high-fiving and all that if you're not executing. If you're executing, it feels good, you feed on it, and away you go, and so does the crowd. So I think that's really what you're referring to. You know, fortunately, if you've been at our games this year, you've seen us win four of our five home games. You know, we got a 4-1 record at home. We've been very good at home, and we haven't been quite as good on the road. You know, we did win our last time out in a big game in New York, and we are 2-3
on the road, right?
And with three more opportunities, starting with San Francisco this week, so we'll look to be fired up because we look to execute a little bit better, and I think then you'll see some of that.
And you, of course, were fired up on the last drive when you executed darn near to perfection against the Bills.
Look fired up during that segment. Not so fired up the segment before.
355-NFL-1. TJ, we certainly appreciate the phone call. Let's try Debbie, who's over off Fleming Island. Hello, Debbie. How are you?
Hey, good. How's everybody?
Good.
Good evening, Debbie.
I'm doing good, Coach. I'm really excited about the Jaguars. The question, or really the comment that I had, is last year it seemed like there was a lot of divisiveness going on, kind of not as a team. And this year, even some of the older guys seem to be a lot more upbeat on a personal basis. And I know we've got young people, but I think we've got an exciting team. I was in New York and saw you play up there, and that was a fantastic game. I just wonder if you sense that they're more of a team, I mean, as far as their attitude and they're wanting to win.
Well, there's no question, Debbie. I think anybody that's followed the team closely, and if you were up in New York and you're calling in tonight, you're certainly one of the many that do follow us closely. We appreciate that. But, yes, we there were a lot of issues that contributed. And, you know, they've been talked about. But, you know, just to reflect on a couple – you know, when you have a lot of contract issues and, you know, you have a couple guys that come in and get paid a ton and they don't work out, and then you have a bunch of other guys that wanted to get paid and didn't. And, you know, so all of a sudden, you know, I want mine. It becomes mine, and it's not us, and team. And so, yes, we are back more like we were 2 years ago when we had a very close team. And that's the one thing about coaches. I think we all understand, and sometimes as fans I think you can forget, but – you know, every year, even if only a player or two changes, your chemistry on your football team is different year to year. And, you know, it develops throughout the off season. It develops in training camp, and it develops throughout the course of a season. And yes, I think what you're picking up on is right now we do have a close-knit team. We do have a team that's all in, so to speak, and are excited about representing the city of Jacksonville. And so, yes, I think you can sense that. I think you can feel that when you watch us play, and that is absolutely the case right now.
And not to leave anybody out, but two guys in particular stand out for the way that they have impacted your locker room. Maurice Drew is obviously in a leadership role this year, and you bring in Torrey Holt, and those two guys just almost single-handedly keep that team together. You can just see it.
You're pretty perceptive, because that would be my top two guys right there. And there are many others.
I don't want to leave anyone out.
They're doing a great job, and you can't help but leave someone out. But I would start there. Yeah. I would say those two guys have been the most out in front and doing it the right way.
Seasoned pro and a young pro working together. It's fun to watch those.
That's good
it really
stuff,
is. Yeah, absolutely. All right, folks, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than our friends at Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Debbie, appreciate the call. Lines are lit. You can join us. 355-NFL-1. 800-355-NFL-1. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
This portion of the Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the brand new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. Brian Sexton back with the head coach of the Jaguars, Jack Del Rio. And we'll take your calls in just a moment. A couple of thoughts now on the 49ers. 4-6 on the season. They've got a running back. In fact, he's the only other running back to to have three touchdown runs of greater than 60 yards this year, Coach, in Frank Gore. What have you seen from him when turning the tape on?
Pro bowler.
Yeah, he's been there before. Been a 1,500-yard back.
Yeah, good player.
Really explosive, obviously. He can get down the field on you.
They've got a good team. I mean, I'm shocked to think that they're 4-6 right now. They've had some really tough, close losses. I mean, really tough.
Well, they came back against Green Bay and just couldn't get over the top last week.
That wasn't one of the close ones I'm referring to. I mean, the score was close, but they were badly beaten early in that game. But they played very good against Colts like we did, lost a close one. They played very well at Minnesota, and that's when Favre threw that pass
back in the end zone.
The pass that defies logic
of
how a guy that's 40 years old can chuck a ball that far and that accurate. So they've had some tough ones, but I mean, it's a good football team. They're physical. They're very stout against the run. They've got some skill people. Vernon Davis, excellent tight end, having a great year. Over 50 catches, eight touchdowns already.
He was a top 10 pick a few years back.
Michael Crabtree, I think he's third on their team in receptions already, and he just got there like last week.
First touchdown catch was last week, yeah. I saw him against the Texans a little bit. You know, the story out there this week is because in the first half, Alex Smith, their quarterback last week in Green Bay, had only 5 passing yards. So in the second half, they went to more of a spread look and opened everything up. And he led them on a come from behind. Didn't get there, but played well when they spread everything out.
Mm-hmm.
So you had Vernon Davis and Michael Crabtree openly advocating for more of that spread offensive look. Mike Singletary, their head coach, said, first of all, we didn't practice that in training camp, so we're not making any radical changes. Second of all, that spread look just doesn't translate to the NFL like it does in college, play in and play out. You can use it here and there. Thoughts on a spread offense
in
the NFL?
Well, if they don't hand it off to Frank Gore, that'd be okay with me.
Okay.
He's pretty good.
He's that good, huh?
Yeah, he's really good. So, no, I you know, obviously you're behind. The defensive strategy changes. A lot of things go into it. Mike understands that.
Right.
I'm sure that'll be a part of their game plan just like it was before. You don't just throw away a Pro Bowl running back and a good part of what you do as an offense because you came from behind and were able to rally, you know, and made some plays when a defense is doing things differently. No, you don't throw all that away. So I know that Coach Singletary will be on top of that. So, but we'll be prepared. Obviously, it is an offense that does have some weapons that got rolling there for a little bit, and they've done some great things running the football,
right,
as you were talking about with Gore and some of his statistics. So we'll have our hands full.
Any Mike Singletary remembrances? You played in the same area as he did. And this is a guy that you're talking about two linebackers coaching football teams now. You expect Singletary has the same approach that you do? Obviously, if he's going to keep
the
ball
in. Similar.
Yeah.
We're similar.
I mean, not necessarily.
I haven't really
scheme.
Studied him.
Okay.
I just know, you know, his football team plays hard. You see that on tape. I played at in the NFL with their defense coordinator, Greg Minuski. He was a linebacker in Minnesota. We were there together. And I know him very well. And he's done a great job with their defense. And we know it's going to be a tough game. We know it'll be a physical game. And you better bring your big boy pads out there.
Let's grab Patrick down in Orlando with a thought on the 49ers. Hello, Patrick. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening, Brian. Good evening, Coach. I appreciate you guys taking my call.
Good evening, Patrick.
I follow the Niners living in Orlando. And, you know, if it was the late 80s or early 90s, it would be a heck of a lot easier to do it. So we've been through some lean times. But I just kind of wanted to get some thoughts from you on, A, Mike Singletary as a coach. And the general consensus is, and I went to San Fran to watch the game, unfortunately, the blowout loss to the Falcons. But the city seems to really be rallying around Mike and his mantra of, I want winners. I want to get your thoughts on him, Jimmy Ray as the offensive coordinator, because you were making some points about, you know, when they spread things out, they gave Alex the ability, kind of like what he was doing in Utah, to get the ball to different receivers and so forth. It was frustrating to see Green Bay put both Al Harris and Rod Woodson on seemingly every play. Charles Woodson on Vernon Davis almost every single play, and they really seemed to shut him down. And then just if you think that they might be, I guess, better off trying to do that on a more regular basis. Obviously, you don't want him to do that against the Jags this Sunday. But just, you know, kind of where you saw that maybe needing to change things offensively to get a little bit more productivity. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
All right. Well, Patrick, you...
You've come to the wrong place.
Yeah, I'm not really going to break down your 49ers and go into what I think they ought to do. I think that's for a different show, but I do respect what they have going on. I think the fact that the city's rallying around Mike is great for them, great for the Niners, and great for Mike Singletary. In terms of their approach, you may not have heard what I told Brian earlier, but I just don't know that you abandon a very good running back and all that you put into it. And I don't think that what you saw last week when they were coming from behind had anything to do with Utah principles in the offense. I think, you know, most of that of running the spread option is kind of like what Urban's doing down in Florida with Timmy. And so a little different process than what you saw in that game against Green Bay. They did hit their tight end down the middle three times, and they did throw one over the top to Crabtree one time, and I know you don't want to allow those explosive plays if you're on defense.
355-NFL-1. Patrick, though, we appreciate the phone call from Orlando. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more with the head coach and you on the Jack Del Rio Show on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton along with the head coach. Time now to get to those phone calls, and let's grab Rob across the river in Orange Park. Rob, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Good evening. Thanks for taking my call.
Happy to do it.
Coach, I want to first say, of course, congratulations on a big win. This is my third year with season tickets, and it sure is a lot of fun being 4-1 at home as opposed to last season. So I really appreciate the product you and your team are putting out and the good time that we're having at the stadium watching y'all.
You're welcome.
My question is the resurgence of John Henderson, two sacks this Sunday, and I know we're starting training camp. You know, he said he's bought in. You guys had your conversation, and I'm just wondering if you guys could explain to us if there's anything that Henderson's been doing differently, or if it's just, you know, if he's healthy, or, you know, 2 years down the line he's over missing Stroud or whatever it is, but he's really at a really high level right now.
All right. Thanks for the call, Rob. Appreciate your support and appreciate your call tonight. Big John, you know, we've talked about this a little bit. I think, you know, Big John, he had to do the things that he's done. And really all that I did in the offseason was make that point very loud and very clear that, you know, in order to have a chance to return to the Big John that we're paying a lot of money, that we're counting on, that we needed him to do certain things, he's done those things. That is part of his stretching and working out and, you know, the hunger and the fun. I mean, John's at his best now. When he's around the building, he's got a smile on his face. You know he's in a good place and he's ready to work and do the things he needs to do. And that's what he's been doing. And that's what we had to have from Big John. And he's responded very well. He said he was all in. He has been all in. And we need that from him. He's taken a step, okay, like Reggie Hayward before his injury was right. Bringing the D-line to his house. Now Big John does that. Bring the D-line to the house on Thursday night, make sure the guys all know what they're doing, those things. So he's really taken a step forward in terms of, you know, wanting to lead and wanting to do the right things. And then on the football field, obviously, he's a big, strong, talented guy.
You know, Rob asked the question, has he gotten past, you know, not playing with Marcus anymore? I will offer to you that playing next to Terrence Knighton has given him – yeah, has really given him a lift for two reasons. One, Hot Roast is playing really well, but the other part of it is – he's the veteran now, and he's got a guy underneath his wing. And both of those two guys in our post-game show last week talked about the relationship that they've built this year. It's been good for both of them.
It has been. It has been. And that's a great point, Brian, that you make. Part of getting over not having Stroud, is, you know, a big playmate like that, is having a new one.
Right.
And so, you know, in Pot Roast, we do have that.
355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Let's grab Scott, who joins us from East Arlington. Hello, Scott. Welcome to the show.
Hello, guys. Walk, talk, Jay, Hawk, Brian, and congratulations, Coach, on another win.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask about Maurice Jones-Drew and having one of the most explosive guys in the league. Do you have a certain number of touches you want him to get during the game, whether it's a pass out of the backfield or just running the ball or anything else?
Yes, we've got a range. It's not a magical number, but we have a range that we prefer to get him, and he's been right around that range for most of the year.
Three straight games for the first time in his career over 20 carries, but he's been productive with it. I mean, that was what we were all looking for when we asked you in the spring. You know, can he carry the load? Can he carry the load? He's carrying it.
Yeah.
He's doing it.
So I guess we answered that question, right?
I would say that you have answered
okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah. We want to utilize him. What we don't want to do is, I think backs that have received, 400 carries in a year, if you look at their track record after that year, it doesn't work out very
Larry
well.
Larry Johnson.
Yeah. Larry's an example. So, and any time you've seen guys, get overused in the league, their production goes way down, on years following that. So he's in a good spot for us right now. I'd like to get Rashad Jennings a little more involved. Montel Owens continues to be a guy that's, with his hand now healed up, we expect him to touch it a little bit. He's practicing hard. And so we do need to get our other backs involved. We'll continue to look for opportunities to get them involved. It's tough sometimes because Maurice is so good and so talented that and so competitive. He never wants to come out of the game. But we are working through that and feel like we have a good, healthy situation right there.
Appreciate the phone call, Scott. We need a break. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show, and we'll return with more right after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton with the head coach of the Jaguars. And you, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. Let's grab Junior, who's been waiting up in Western New York. Hello, Junior. What are you doing in Buffalo today?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks for making my call. I want to wish you guys a very happy Thanksgiving. Made weekend a very great Sunday. Had my held up high, walking around Buffalo with a great win on Sunday. I have two questions on offense and defense, because you know how a lot of other teams in the NFL are copycats. For some reason, the Bills put Amen in a box and really shut down on running game completely. They didn't respect the pass, and for most of the game, we were struggling on the running and didn't throw. And on defense, what are we going to do if Rasheed Masters is still questionable and we don't know how long he's going to be out for, and what can we do on defense to help out our young safeties so we don't get burned too much on all those long passing plays? Thank you, and I'll listen to your call.
Okay, Junior, thanks for the call. I'm glad that you were able to hold your head high up there in Bills country. Yeah.
Kyle Williams, their defensive tackle, had a big day.
Yeah.
95. Yeah, he played well.
He did. So you're hitting on right where I'm going to go. If we want David to be able to throw down the field, and we did have guys open, and he'd like to hit them, we've got to give David a chance to see them. And we didn't protect very well in this ball game. Our interior line got beat by their defensive interior line. Even without Stroud, Kyle Williams from LSU, number 95, had a whale of a game. Looked like a Pro Bowler. I mean, he really disrupted things and made a lot of plays and hit David a lot, too much. And we wanted to run the ball. We really felt like if we could get to the second level, we'd have Maurice for some big gains. We never got him to the second level. We weren't as sharp in executing against that defense as we'll need to be going forward. So it was a little bit sluggish effort offensively. We battled. I think defensively, we had one play go over the top of us. I mean, one 98-yard bomb, just a...
But you saw over and over and over on SportsCenter.
Yeah, the T.O., he's the greatest, and he got a long one, and good for him, and that's what he got. Okay, they got one touchdown on us. We made them kick field goals. So defensively, we hung in there, and as a football team, we found a way. Despite not playing great, we found a way to get the win, and that's the most important thing.
We know the play that Tyron Brackenridge, on that last drive where he knocked it away. Overall, how did he play?
Solid.
In place of Rasheen. Okay.
Yeah, solid. I mean, he's not Rasheen.
No, very few are.
he's not Rasheen, but we'll scrap and we'll do some things to help and he'll battle and he just let one time he got caught messing around and didn't stay on top but beyond that he's pretty solid.
355-NFL1. 355-6351. Let's grab Greg over on the west side. Greg, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Hey coach, how you doing?
Good. Hey, Greg.
Hey, congratulations on the win. I've been glad to see we pulled one out again. I have two questions for you, and I'd like to take my answer off the air. First question is that what you were just talking about, but it seems like we've been repeatedly getting compromised in the pass defense. I noticed that it seems to be our Achilles heel. The worst quarterbacks in the league seem to find ways to pass on us, which in the NFL might be expected. Do you have any plans to, like, address that, or is any particular formula that y'all might employ to improve that? The second question is, this is something I noticed in the game, a lot of the receivers and the coverage people were slipping and not able to make cuts effectively. I think it's because the field was pretty wet. In that situation, do y'all ever have the option to increase your cleat size in order to give them better traction? Is that something you can do mid-game to help out? I'll take those answers off the air. Have a good night.
All right, thank you. Well, you know what? He made a good point about the grass. The new rye grass that came in, all right?
That they overseed with it this time of year.
That they overseed with this time of year that gets slick when there's a little bit of moisture in the air was exactly that. And our guys, had seven stud cleats on, and there is a maximum amount of cleat you can have in there. I mean, you can't go out there with two-inch spikes, you know, but our guys had the proper footwear on, and, you know, but it was slick. I mean, there's no question about that, and we've got to be better in that situation. In terms of addressing pass defense, a combination, rush and coverage. We haven't been great at either one. That's why we've given up some plays on defense that we really shouldn't. And the other part where we've been better is tackling. And really early in the year when the rush was getting there and the coverage was pretty sound, we just weren't tackling. So, you know, those are the basic fundamentals, folks. I mean, I know you'd like to have some, like, you know, great schematic wizardry address some of these issues. It's not out there. We've got great design. We're going after them. The guys are eager. They're hungry. And as we tackle better and as we rush better and as we cover better and we do it together, we can do very well. And we had some good moments. You know, one of the things that a positive in passing situations, they're 3 of 11 on third down in that ball game.
Right.
So if you're getting off the field, you're doing something right.
355 NFL 1. One more statement with the head coach. We'll come back right after this. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. We got a couple of callers on the line, so let's get right to it. Patrick is on the north side. He's been waiting the longest. Patrick, welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
Hey. I'm good, man. Coach Del Rio, I got to give it to you, man. You've done a great job this year, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Patrick.
The main reason I was calling, two quick questions. I see we got a open roster spot. Was wondering, you know what I mean? I know you probably can't give away the secrets or whatever, but, like, just wondering what kind of direction we may be leaning in. Are we bringing in a veteran or, you know, are we trying to promote, like, a practice squad guy? Second question was, last night I saw a sweet play with Vince Young doing a little option deal. Do we have any trick plays kind of like that coming? Or, you know what I mean? Like, are we going to try to expose, you know, find a way to expose them with some kind of trick plays like that?
Yeah, that was pretty nice last night, that little option they ran. Actually, the last time that was run, I think, was Jay Cutler ran that play in Denver coming off his own end zone when Mike Shanahan was still the coach. And
I do remember that.
Yeah, a little reverse action, little option with a pitch element to it. So you never know. You never know. We're always working on things. We have gadgets up. You don't see them all, but we do run them and reverses and whatnot. So you never know. We've got, you know, a few read options where David's involved and things like that. But that's not a major part of our offense. You know, we're closer to being more traditional than that, but certainly we do have wrinkles available and wrinkles that we work on all the time. We'll continue to do so. In terms of that roster spot, we have targeted a player that will get in and get his physical and then be able to be elevated. There was some movement on our practice squad, and I would just say stay tuned. All of that will be available tomorrow. You know, I don't want to get into specifics right now until all of it is executed. But there were some changes today, and that spot that's open will be filled. It is currently being, it's just about filled. The guys to get here and pass physical. So,
right. Appreciate the phone call. Real quick, we barely talked about the defense for San Francisco. A couple of guys I'd like to hear your comments on. First is Patrick Willis,
yep,
the middle linebacker who seems by all accounts to be a tremendous player.
Great player. I think he's the best linebacker in the league right now.
No kidding.
Yes.
Holy cow, that's big time praise.
Well, I mean, Ray Lewis was the best. I think Ray is, on the decline part of his career.
Sure. Still 14 years into the league.
Still a very great, he's a great player, but I think as far as being the best in the game right
now.
You
got to be a young guy.
I think this guy right here is. I think he's just a younger version of what Ray was in terms of being big, strong, fast, and very passionate about the way he plays.
Two pass rushers, Manny Lawson and Paris Harrelson.
Harrelson, yes.
Yeah, who Coach Loggeman just fell in love with watching the tape.
Yeah, you'll like it.
He's a good player.
They play good. They're a good front, very active. And like I said, Greg Minuski is a guy that I played with, doing a nice job with their defensive unit. They are very active and very aggressive. And they'll be a tough front to run against. And then Harrelson and the company will get cranked up and try and come after us. So it's going to be a tall order. We're going to have a tough game now.
Jaguars' first ever regular season game in San Francisco. You're going home. Also, Maurice going back to the Bay Area.
Right.
We've got some storylines there. It should be fun. Coach, thanks for your time. I know it's Tuesday. You got a meeting to go to. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That's
have a happy Thanksgiving,
absolutely,
everybody. We have a lot to be thankful for. God has blessed us greatly, and so just want to be thankful.
Happy
Appreciate
Thanksgiving.
It. Thank you.
You too, Coach. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and wrap up the show after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show here on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars, Niners, late game, obviously, since it's played on the West Coast. We'll start things with a 1 o'clock start for the tailgate show for all of those of you who are listening on WOKV. For all of you around the network here in the Southeast, we will we'll grab you at 3 o'clock. Kickoff shortly after 4, whistle-to-whistle coverage of the Jaguars and the 49ers, and then the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the scoreboard show. Everything you have come to expect for the Jaguars on radio this season. What more needs to be said? Jaguars are right in the thick of it. The only teams in the AFC with a better record than the Jaguars are the undefeated Colts and the 7-3 Patriots, Bengals, and Chargers. They're 6-4, folks. I mean, they're at this point right now, and you can look at who they've beaten. None of that matters, all right? Go back and look at the undefeated New England Patriots and look at their schedule. You'll find some dogs that season, too. Don't pay any attention to that. Look at a football team that's running the ball last week, albeit not very productively. They've won the last 2 ball games when they needed to. But it's a young team with a lot of young players. 13, 14 rookies on the active roster with Jeremy Navarre moved up. Look, this is a fun football team to watch. I can go into it. I can start making comparisons to the 96 team, but why? It's a long, long time ago. Here in 2009, a young team with a great personality, 6-4 when no one thought they would be, should be fun. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.